From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, November 11th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri Botanical Garden will have its first woman president next year. Botanist Lucia Lohman is focused on how the garden can address climate change and biodiversity loss.
What is the science that we need to do now that will help us really mitigate some of the challenges 30 years from now?
Her conversation with STLPR's Kate Grumke coming up after this news on The Gateway. An investigation is underway at the St. Louis City Justice Center after a detainee died there over the weekend. A statement from Mayor Tashara Jones' office says the man died Saturday morning, but does not give further details or circumstances. At least 11 detainees have died at the City Justice Center since 2022. The jail has been the site of uprisings and protests over conditions and has been run under interim leadership since September. Black people in the St. Louis region are among those around the country who've received racist text messages following last Tuesday's election. Parents have been sharing the texts on social media to raise awareness, St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Black teens in the region receive racist text messages from unknown numbers suggesting that slavery is legal again post-election. Some texts stated the child's name and that they were selected to pick cotton at their nearest plantation. It also stated that a van would pick them up sometime next week and they'd be searched once they entered that plantation. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and her son received one of those messages. In a statement, she said it's unacceptable that people have to deal with being referred to as property and the country has work to do to get rid of racism. The text service TextNow said in a statement it has disabled all the accounts used to send the racist messages. The FBI encourages people to report physical threats to local authorities. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Governor Mike Parson has opened applications to replace Prosecutor Wesley Bell in St. Louis County, despite the job already being posted. Parson, a Republican, announced Friday that he'll accept applications until November 22nd. County Executive Sam Page, a Democrat, had said Thursday that he would take applications for the job until November 15th. The opening comes after Bell handily won election to Congress, with 2 years left in his term as prosecutor. Page says the county's charter gives him the power to make the appointment, but Parson says the state's constitution gives the governor the authority to fill any vacancies in public office. Parson did not make that argument when Republican County Executive Steve Ellman filled the prosecutor's post in St. Charles County last year. A spokesman says Page will move forward with his process. The issue is likely to end up in court. U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt is dismissing the idea that Republicans will pass a national abortion ban after they take power in January. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the GOP senator's expectation for the hotly contested issue.
Missourians legalized abortion last week, placing language in the state's constitution that will likely strike down the state's near-total ban on the procedure. Some abortion rights proponents have expressed skepticism Missouri's abortion expansion will survive a GOP takeover of the federal government. But Schmidt says there's not enough support in Congress to enact abortion restrictions across the country.
I think a lot of that kind of fear-mongering was happening before the election to motivate voters. I would hope that people be a little bit more sober about that now. It's just not a reality. You can have different points of view on that, but I think those are going to be battled out in the states.
Missouri's Planned Parenthood providers sued last week to undo the state's abortion restrictions. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says he hopes the new GOP majority in the Senate is open to bipartisan cooperation. Republicans will hold 53 seats in the Senate next year, but Durbin says they will need at least 60 votes to pass important legislation, which will only be possible with help from Democrats.
Just finding a way to stop the business of the Congress is not a positive thing for this nation. Working together could be positive, and I want to be part of that. I've been in the Senate long enough to have seen it both ways, and I believe that a bipartisan cooperation is the only way to move forward.
Durbin made those comments Friday at a ceremony in Champaign. He says he's also ready to work with a new Trump administration, but that he is committed to protecting Social Security and Medicare. A federal judge in southern Illinois Friday found a controversial law banning semi-automatic firearms unconstitutional. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Judge Stephen McGlynn, in his 168-page ruling, explained that guns like the AR-15 are commonly used by citizens for self-defense. The Trump-appointed judge wrote that fundamental rights like the Second Amendment do not, quote, subsist subject to the whims of government officials and judges. Gun rights groups like the Illinois State Rifle Association are celebrating the ruling. Meanwhile, State Attorney General Kwame Raoul's office says they plan on appealing the decision. The ban was pushed by Democratic state lawmakers in response to the Highland Park Parade mass shooting, where a gunman used an assault rifle to kill 7 people and injure dozens more. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Many Americans turned to food pantries for the first time during the COVID-19 pandemic, and experts say that hasn't changed. In fact, Feeding Illinois Executive Director Steve Erickson says numbers have risen even higher.
Many of them are still using the food pantries, and that's a good thing that they know where we're at if they need us, but a lot of those folks have not been able to get to return to work.
Erickson stresses that most people don't use a food pantry year-round, but only in months or seasons that are particularly difficult. Erickson says food banks have tried to meet people where they are through programs like mobile food distribution. Feeding Illinois oversees 8 food banks that serve pantries in all 102 counties around the state. A spacecraft is on its way to take a closer look at one of Jupiter's moons. A St. Louisan is on the NASA team that launched the mission to Europa last month. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports.
NASA's Europa Clipper mission aims to learn more about the icy moon, and specifically what's underneath its frozen outer shell. Bill McKinnon is a professor of Earth, Environmental, and Planetary Sciences at WashU, and is part of NASA's science team for this mission. He says it's about figuring out how habitable the moon is.
NASA likes to say we're not looking for life itself, you know, because we don't want to overpromise, but we want to see, you know, do the conditions truly merit further exploration later in this century.
McKinnon made those comments on St. Louis on the Air. He says the spacecraft has a few instruments to determine the chemical composition of the moon's surface. It will reach that part of the solar system in 2030. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
In January, Dr. Lucia Lohman will become the first woman to be president of the Missouri Botanical Garden. Lohman grew up in Brazil and first came to St. Louis for her master's and PhD at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. She was also a postdoctoral fellow at the garden. Since then, Lohman has become an internationally recognized botanist and professor at the University of California, Berkeley. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke sat down with Lohman to learn why she wanted to come back to the garden and to St. Louis.
I read that you lived just a few hundred feet from the Missouri Botanical Garden when you were here. What impression did it make on you back then?
It was lovely. I used to stay really late doing my graduate work. So I have these memories of crossing the garden late at night and going back to my apartment. And it was really wonderful that the garden provided such incredible structure for students. I lived in an apartment that was owned by the garden, and it was so welcoming, and I just loved it.
Many St. Louisans don't realize how key this city is in plant science, and the Missouri Botanical Garden is a big part of that. How do you think the garden could further strengthen St. Louis's influence in botany?
So the Missouri Botanical Garden really is this amazing world-class institution in botany. It's one of the largest botanical gardens in the world. So imagine, as a 17-year-old back in Brazil, I knew about the Missouri Botanical Garden, and this is where I wanted to come. So in some ways, the Missouri Botanical Garden might even be better known globally than it is locally. The garden is, for the local community, this amazing place where people come to celebrate, where they come to learn about plants, where they come to enjoy themselves. And it's important to keep in mind that this connection between science and the garden itself and the horticultural displays is really crucial.
How will climate change affect the work of the garden in the coming years?
Climate change and biodiversity loss really are some of the greatest challenges of our times, right? So while I start to think about the next steps and our actions, I'm really thinking about what is the science that we need to do now that will help us really mitigate some of the challenges 30 years from now. We really need research that starts with the basics, so documenting biodiversity, that go all the way into finding solutions. So we need to understand the history of plants, to understand how did plants form over the last several million years, how did they adapt to climate change in the past, so we can use this information to be better prepared for the future. And at the same time, of course, we want to save the endangered and threatened species and make sure they're growing in our displays so we can have these species for the future.
What are you most looking forward to about this new role?
I keep coming back to the welcoming nature of St. Louis. I just love the people and also love the museums, love the symphony, love the Cardinals, love Ted Drews, love the food. And it's just a place that feels like home. And I am especially looking forward to thinking about how can we advance the mission of the garden while really contributing to solving the climatic and environmental crisis that we have ahead. Very few institutions in the world have the ability that the garden has to contribute to mitigating those challenges.
That was the Missouri Botanical Gardens' next president, Lucia Lohman, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. On this Veterans Day, a thank you to all who have and continue to serve our country. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.